Don't know if you've picked up on the idea that we're doing things a little differently in our worship service in terms of our order. And maybe you've clued in to what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do, if you haven't clued in, is as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we're reflecting on the story that the communion table represents. And we're reading the story that tells the passion or the suffering of Jesus. And it's a heavy story, isn't it? It's a story of betrayal and hardship and suffering and physical abuse and innocence betrayed and injustice and the heaviness. So the first part of the service weights to heaviness. And I think I've been feeling like something's been missing as we've been trying to do this. And I think one of the things that's been missing is space for us to reflect. And so before I share a devotional that will lead us to the communion table, let's take a moment just silently to think about and reflect on the amazing love of God that he would send his son to die for us. And after that moment of reflection, I'll share some words and we'll come to the communion table. Amazing love. It is so. Mark 14 and 15 brings us to follow Jesus to ransom and resurrection as we read about the trial of Jesus. In so much as trials are supposed to be a search for what is true, too often the evil one perverts the hearts of humanity so justice lives homeless in this world. It looks for a place to stay, but no door is opened. Jesus is arrested, he's put on trial, and despite the deceitfulness of human schemes and the lackluster pursuit of truth on behalf of Pilate, who's supposed to be the holder of truth, despite all of the brokenness of the trial, in all of that, the truth of Jesus' identity is confessed and is proclaimed. Certainly we can ignore the truth, we can walk away from it, we can distort it, we can bend it, we can pretend it's not there, but the truth will always be the truth. And so we've come to the part of the story of Mark's gospel where the question about the identity of Jesus will be served at the center table for everyone to consider. The big question, who is Jesus, will be answered in Mark chapter 14 and 15 when Jesus is put on trial. It happens late Thursday night. They sung a hymn, went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's Thursday night. And Jesus is betrayed with a kiss by his friend, his follower Judas, and he's taken away immediately, going then to the court of the high priest to begin his trial. There, the entire Jewish ruling council is present. Chief priests, elders, teachers of the law, everyone who's supposed to reject Jesus is there. By noon on Friday the next day, darkness will cover the whole land for 3 hours and Jesus will hang on a Roman cross. It's swift injustice where an innocent man who committed no crime will hang in the place of a thief. But because Jesus is not just a man, he's not just a man, the injustice of that day will fulfill God's requirements for eternal justice and will bring about the possibility for salvation for all humanity from the wrath of God's judgment against sin and against all perversion and all deceit and all the injustices that will be carried forward by the hands of men. And so Thursday night in the courtyard of the high priest, the question that we've all kind of been waiting for is put to the defendant. Jesus has asked explicitly, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Just tell us, is this who you are? No more games. It's as if all the power that Jesus brought to this world isn't enough to answer the question. Like their eyes are blind. He's healing people. He's casting out demons. But now tell us, we want you to tell us. No, really, who are you? Are you the Messiah, the Son of God? You can imagine Jesus maybe quipping back in kind of a powerful interchange that would be made for Hollywood with Jesus saying, you want answers? Now, I'm going to think I'm entitled to them. You want answers? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Of course, And that's not exactly how it goes. Jesus instead simply replies, I am. That's who I am. And given the violent reaction to Jesus' answer and the tearing of clothes and the accusation of blasphemy and the pursuit of his life, that response, I am, is interpreted over time to understand that Jesus is saying that he is God with us. He is the I am. He is, as it was said about his birth, Emmanuel, God is with us. In that moment, they begin to take the trial to the next level. It's Friday, very early in the morning. We don't know if it's sunrise yet because Friday can be dark too. Friday morning can be dark too. But Jesus is taken to the home of Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea at the time. He spent a lot of his time at the coast on the Mediterranean, a beautiful place to go hang out and live your life. But it's the time of the festival. And so he's in Jerusalem at a palace there in Jerusalem. And there are prison cells there in his palace that he could lock up prisoners and all those things that happened with trials and in that day. And what we see in that Pilate's interaction is his lackluster care for the truth. He cares, it seems, more about his position of power, his prestige with the people, than he does with doing what's right, with pursuing what is just. On Thursday night, it was revealed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one whom Daniel prophesied would come. It's now Friday morning, very early, and before Pilate, the highest ruling authority in the region, Pilate is now going to declare three times Jesus' identity as king. He asked Jesus explicitly, are you king of the Jews? Jesus replies, you have said it to be so. Later, Pilate will ask, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? And he'll ask one more time, what shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews? Even when Jesus is put on the cross, a sign will hang above his head, King of the Jews. And so together, the trial of Jesus answered a question that has protruded from the ground and caused all kinds of trouble and division and hostility. That question, it sticks out of the ground like a rock and people trip over it. The question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? The answer that Mark is giving us is Jesus is the King, the Messiah, and the Son of God. And because of who Jesus is, if Jesus is just a man, his death means nothing to us. Just one of many who have died over the years. But because Jesus is the King, the Messiah, the Son of God, whom God sent to this earth from his side as an expression of his amazing love, that means Jesus has the authority to reveal to us the will of God. He has the authority to forgive our sins. He has the authority to forgive our sins. Did you hear that? He has the authority to forgive our sins. And because he is the Son of God, he is able to bring us into a fellowship with the Father, a fellowship that we celebrate and remember every time we share the Lord's Supper. It is a fellowship that we share with God through Jesus. And it's a table that we're all sitting around, not literally, we're all sitting in pews, I know that, but we're imagining ourselves at a very, very large table of fellowship together. And we are sharing fellowship with one another, not directly to one another, but through Jesus Christ. And so when we come to remember the passion of Jesus, the suffering and the journey of suffering that he took on our behalf, we recognize that that table means something. When we take the bread that represents his body, that the body that endured for us the pain, the juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out according to the will of the Father on purpose. When we take this meal together, we're remembering this story. It's the foundational story of our faith. It's the story that changes humanity. And when we come to the table, we remember that Jesus did something for you and I. He did something for us. He took our pain, not literally our pain, but he took a pain for us. In other words, when we read about Jesus experiencing pain, we're recognizing he's walking a journey of suffering and he's taking that suffering so that by his death there may be a consequence that changes our lives. He took our penalty. As Isaiah the prophet said of the coming Messiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity, for he had none of his own. As Pilate asked, what crime has this man committed? And he took our place. Well, literally in the story, he took the place of Barabbas. But we see and understand in that Jesus, we see ourselves in Barabbas, that Jesus took our place. He died for us. As Romans 5, 7, 6 through 7 reads, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Isaiah prophesied, he was crushed for our iniquity. Paul says in Romans, an innocent man died for an ungodly humanity. I don't mean to be melodramatic, but when we think about who the ungodly are, when I think about who the ungodly are, I don't always immediately think of myself. But that's the truth. I'm the ungodly. This morning I was praying in here early and preparing for this day to come together to the table with you, my brothers and my sisters. And usually my prayer time is a lot of praise and thanks, and this morning it was peppered with confessions of sin. Because I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of forgiveness. And when I come to the table with you today, what I'm going to know is because Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the King, he has the authority in all heaven to forgive my sin. So we're going to come to the table together to receive confirmation again of our forgiven status in Christ, because we've been baptized, we have joined him, we've been washed, we've been cleansed, and that blood continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And after we sit at the table and share together, we're going to linger at the table a little bit longer. I mean, stay in your pews, but we're going to metaphorically linger at the table a little bit longer. And one of our brothers in spirit is going to come and share, Ian Newton's going to come and share how Jesus and the kingdom has changed his life. And so if you would, as we prepare to come to the table, would you bow with me as we take the bread and the cup of our Lord? Father, we know that your Son Jesus walked the road of suffering so that we might walk free. In this life, free from the power and the penalty of sin, and the next life, free from the very presence of sin, that we may be liberated from bondage to decay and share an eternal fellowship with you. Father, we think about your amazing love for us, that you would send your one and only Son to die, to suffer, to take our pain, our penalty, in our place. This morning we reflect and we ask that your Spirit would fill our hearts with a confirmation of our being forgiven of all of our sins, that we may walk anew in peace with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.